Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for September 2006. This is issue number 258, and I'm Fred Vobey, the publisher of the DX Audio Service. My address is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805. The cost of a subscription to the DX Audio Service for U.S. and Canadian members is $28. To Europe and elsewhere, it's $40. Those prices are also the renewal rates. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make your check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or simply log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org and sign up using our PayPal credit card system. You can also sign up to edxn.com and get your DX Audio Service on your computer or iPod player. A subscription to EDXN is only $15. Just point your browser to www.e-dxn.com and subscribe online with our PayPal credit card system, or contact Wayne Heinen, H-E-I-N-E-N, at 4131 South Andes Way, Aurora, Colorado, 80013-3831. Well, we've got kind of an interesting magazine. This is the pre-convention issue of the DX Audio Service. We also had a technical problem with the Musings to the Members line. So we're going to be doing a lot of news and information on this edition. So sit back and enjoy the ride.
Thanks, Fred. And here's AM Switch for the DX Audio Service for September 2006. First of all, as always, call letter changes. On 620 in Louisville, Kentucky, the old WTMT is now WTUV. On 730, WKDL in Alexandria, Virginia has made the change to WXTR. On 830, KMXE, Orange, California has made the change to KLAA. 890, a new station in Mabank, Texas, it's M-A-B-A-N-K, KKBM is their new call. 970, WLZR in Canton, North Carolina has taken the new call of WYSE. WMGT in Stillwater, Minnesota on 1220 has taken the new call of KLBB. 1250 WWFT, Nicholasville, Kentucky, their new call WVKY. On 1290 WRIB, Providence, Rhode Island has made the change to WSTL. On 1310 WDTW in Dearborn, Michigan, their new call WWW. 1340 KWXY, Cathedral City, California, their new call KPTR. 1360 KBYO, Tallulah, Louisiana has made the change to KLSM. On 1400 WRCC, Battle Creek, Michigan, changed their call letters to WBFN. 1470 WIJK, Evergreen, Alabama, their new call WPGG, also on 1470, KLBB, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, has taken the call of KZTG. 1530 KPCR, Bowling Green, Missouri, has changed to WLIQ. They have a CP to move to Quincy, Illinois, across the river, so maybe that's why they got a W call. And 1590 WXRS, Swainsboro, Georgia, changed your call letters in the log to WRJS. Moving on now to CPs on the air, KBET 790 in Winchester, Nevada. Their CP for U4, 1,000 watts during the day, 300 watts at night, is on the air. 820 WAIT in Illinois changed their city of license to now Willow Springs. 840 KMPH Modesto, California is now on the air with U4, 5,000 watts day and night. Using the former KTRB studios and old 860 transmitter site. On 1180, KHCM Honolulu, Hawaii is now on the air with a kilowatt day and night non-directional, moving from 1170. 1400 KENT Parowan, Utah, they're on the air with 1,000 watts day and night, U1. 1520 WVOZ San Juan, Puerto Rico is now on the air, U3, 25,000 watts, day and night. 1540 KMPC Los Angeles, they're on the air now with 50,000 watts during the day, 37,000 watts at night, U4. They have a pending application to raise that nighttime power to 46,000 watts. 1560 KZQQ Abilene, Texas is now on the air with 500 watts during the day, 45 watts at night, non-directional, adding night service. And 1580 CKDO Oshawa, Ontario is now on with 10,000 watts day and night, U3 having moved from 1350. Grants for new stations on 670, a new station in Crescent City, California, has been granted U4, 500 watts during the day, and 250 watts at night. 1060, a new station in Sparks, Nevada, has been granted U4, 15,000 watts during the day, 370 watts at night. Also on 1060, this one in Farmington, New Mexico, KUCU, this station not yet on the air had a CP for U4, 1,500 watts during the day and 250 watts at night on 1090, but then they filed for U13, 10,000 watts during the day, 250 watts at night, and 10,000 watts critical hours power on 1060. This latest request has also been granted, so KUCU has two CPs, but we can only assume they'll be canceling the first one and building this facility on 1060. 1350, a new station in Raymond, Washington, has been granted 5,000 watts during the day, 500 watts at night, U4, from a three-tower site using all three towers day and night. 1450, a new station in Lancaster, New Hampshire. They've been granted 1,000 watts during the day, 670 watts at night, non-directional. 1490, Berlin, New Hampshire. CP granted for 1,000 watts during the day, 930 watts at night, U1. And also on 1490, a new station has been granted in Jackson, Wyoming. They'll have 420 watts during the day, 1,000 watts at night, U1, that's non-directional. Some actions during the past month on 660 KLTI Springfield, Missouri. A CP has been granted to move here from Macon, Missouri on 1560. They'll have U4, 1500 during the day, 44 watts at night from two brand spanking new towers. On 830 KMUL Farwell, Texas, a CP has been granted to increase their daytime power. They'll become U11, 50,000 watts during the day, 10 watts at night, 16,000 watts during critical hours. They'll add a tower to their current array. 910 WBZU in Scranton, Pennsylvania, a CP has been granted to diplex into the WEJL 630 antenna and decrease their power levels to become U1, 900 watts during the day and 440 watts at night. 920 WMOK Metropolis, Illinois, CP has been granted to construct four new towers in order to increase their nighttime power. When operational, WMOK will become U2, 1,000 daytime watts, 750 watts at night, from two transmitter sites. 950 WNZZ Montgomery, Alabama, a CP has been granted for U1, 1,000 watts during the day and 45 watts at night. 950 CHER Sydney, Nova Scotia, the CRTC has granted CHER's request to move to the FM band on 98.3 MHz with 100 kilowatts. As has been the rule for these new FMers, once the station is built and on the air, the AM and FM will simulcast for 3 months, after which the AM will go off. 1000 WMVP Chicago, the CP has been granted to return to U4, 50,000 watts day and night from three new towers at their original site after they temporarily operated from the WLS 890 site. 1180 WFYL, King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, a CP has been granted to move to 1180 from 1530, change their city of license from McConnellsburg, Pennsylvania, and construct a new tower situated in the rough area between the 5th, 8th, and 9th fairways of the Jeffersonville Golf Course with D1, 420 watts, daytime only. The antenna will be a Velcom 94-foot coil-loaded, self-supporting omnidirectional whip antenna. And this station has been heard testing on 1180, so it won't be long before they're on the air. 1190 KDYA Vallejo, California, a CP has been granted to increase their power from four new self-supporting towers. When operational, KDYA will become D3, 3,500 watts, daytime only. The pattern is directed toward the northeast. 1210 KQEQ Fowler, California, a CP has been granted to increase daytime power to become U5, 5,000 watts during the day, 370 watts at night from two transmitter sites. Also on 1210 KPRZ San Marcos, Poway, California, CP has been granted to increase their daytime power to become U4, 40,000 watts during the day and 10,000 watts at night. 1310 WYND, DeLand, Florida. CP has been granted to increase day and night power levels to become U1, 10,400 watts during the day and 115 watts at night. 1380 CKPC, Brantford, Ontario. They've been approved for a power upgrade to be U4, 25,000 watts day and night. They'll add one 180-foot tower to their inline array of four, and both day and night patterns will be adjusted slightly and, of course, be enlarged significantly. 1450 WVLD, Valdosta, Georgia. A CP has been granted to shorten and relocate their tower. They'll increase the power level then to become 1,000 watts day and night, non-directional. 1460 WQXM, Bartow, Florida. A CP has been granted to add one tower to their current lone stick in order to increase the daytime power to become U5, 10,000 watts during the day and 155 watts at night. WPMB 1500 in Vandalia, Illinois has been granted a CP to add nighttime service. When operational, they'll become 250 watts during the day and 2 watts at night, remaining non-directional. 1560 KILE, Bel Air, Texas. A CP has been granted to construct 6 new towers in order to add nighttime operation. When operational, KILE will become U4, 50,000 watts during the day and 1,000 watts at night. 1570 KMUR, Catoosa, Oklahoma. A CP has been granted to move here from Pryor, Oklahoma, with D3, 1,000 watts daytime from a new 2-tower transmitter site. 1580 WLIM, Patchogue, New York. A CP has been granted for 10,000 watts during the day, 500 watts at night, U2. And 1600 KRVA, Cockrell Hill, Texas. A CP has been granted to increase the daytime power to become U4, 25,000 watts during the day, and 930 watts at night. Some news to use on 550 KTRS, St. Louis, Missouri. Two of their four 450-foot towers were downed by strong winds, and the station is operating at reduced nighttime power. Until the situation is rectified, KTRS is operating under an STA, that's Special Temporary Authority, with U1, 5,000 watts during the day and 1,250 watts at night. In related action, that same storm, which affected KTRS, also knocked KSLG 1380 off the air, and at the deadline here, there was no word when it would return. And still another calamity there in the St. Louis area on 1430 WIL. They lost one of their four towers during the same windstorm. No word yet on their power situation. 870 KFJZ, Fort Worth, Texas, licensed for D1, 500 watts during the daytime only. KFJZ was issued a CP for D1, 1300 from a new transmitter site, but that was challenged by WWL. So KFJZ filed for D1, 1300, CH, 1300, which was once again challenged by WWL. It seems the coverage area that they proposed went into the WWL area. Now KFJZ has filed for D4, 1,000 watts during the day and 1,000 watts during critical hours, erecting a second tower at the proposed site in order to use a directional pattern to protect WWL. 960 CHNS, Halifax, Nova Scotia. They've ceased broadcasting as the FM station taking its place has been launched as Classic Rock 89.9 FM. 970 WESO, Southbridge, Massachusetts. They're operating at reduced power after a windstorm ripped through the area and toppled their tower. No word on the exact output or date of return to full power as U1, 1,000 watts during the day and 21 watts at night. 1220 WIBQ, Sarasota, Florida, licensed for U4, 1,000 watts during the day, 159 watts at night. WIBQ was issued a CP for U5, 5,000 watts during the day and 13 watts at night, but later amended the application to U4, 5,000 watts during the day and 900 watts at night, along with a city of license change to Lakewood Ranch, Florida. Now they've amended that request to read U4, 2,000 watts during the day, 249 watts at night, back at Sarasota. 1270 WMKT, Charlevoix, Michigan. Not satisfied with their recent upgrade in power, WMKT has now applied For U2, 50,000 watts during the day and 5,000 watts at night. And finally, WBGX 1570 in Harvey, Illinois. They were also granted a recent power upgrade to U4, 1500 watts during the day, 500 watts at night. But now they're asking for a further increase to U4, 5,000 watts during the day, 500 watts at night. U4, that's two directional patterns. While returning to the air this past month, WQYK 1010 Sefner, Florida, with Music of Your Life format, KBFL 1060 Springfield, Missouri, who is simulcasting KBFL 99.9 in Buffalo, Missouri, with a Music of Your Life format. Reported as silent, KLVP 1040, Tigard, Oregon, WRIB 1220, Providence, Rhode Island. Last issue reported that the FCC had scheduled to include IBOC usage in their July 13th meeting. It seems the item was pulled from the agenda at the last minute. No word when the subject will be revisited, so it seems the nighttime radio waves will remain a bit clearer, at least in the near future. The National Association of Broadcasters, or NAB, is endorsing and pushing a proposal to supplement deficiencies in the coverage of AM signals by adding FM translators. The NAB cites, quote, "interference generated by power lines, computers, traffic signal sensors, electric motors, fluorescent lighting, RF from cable TV lines, and certain kinds of medical equipment often disrupt the strength and clarity of AM radio signals. In particular, power utility poles made of metal, which are rapidly replacing wooden poles, can radiate AM signals, creating distortion and nulling a station's signal in parts of the intended coverage area," end of quote. Underground sensors that trigger traffic signals have also become a problem. The 50,000-watt signal of WSM in Nashville is wiped out at the busiest intersection in the entire state of Tennessee, located in Murfreesboro, because of interference from an underground traffic sensor, states the trade group. Several NAB members with AM stations report coverage area losses of 80% to 95% at night when they must protect clear channels. This will become worse starting in 2007. Daylight saving time will begin 3 weeks earlier in March of that year. Consequently, many AM stations, and particularly daytime-only services, will completely lose an entire hour of early morning drive time programming or be forced to operate at very low power during that vitally important hour, states the NAB in its petition. Granting the petition, once again quoting them, would be consistent with FCC precedent in favor of improving AM radio service, the association said. Well, celebrating its 75th birthday this month is WDEV 550, Waterbury, Vermont. Congratulations to them. WNYC 820 New York is preparing to move from the city's municipal building, where it's been since 1924, to a former printing plant where it will have 12-foot ceilings and 71,900 square feet of space. Reports indicate the number of studios and recording booths will double to 31, and station also plans to build a street-level studio for concerts and public forums. A group of radio history enthusiasts sponsored several events in celebration of the 100th anniversary of electrical engineer Reginald A. Fessenden's broadcast from a 420-foot tower located in Brant Rock, Massachusetts, in 1906. The events took place the weekend of August 4 to 6 at the village of Brant Rock in Marshfield, Massachusetts. Fines to report this month, WYLF 850 Penyan, New York, has been fined $11,000 for repeated violations concerning using powers in excess of the station's authorization during daytime, post-sunset, and nighttime hours, and failure to enclose the station's tower within an effective locked fence or other enclosure. Also fined, WXCT 990 Southington, Connecticut, has been fined $4,000 for public file violations. WWZN 1510 Boston, Massachusetts, has been fined $10,000 for repeated violations regarding the public file. And WSSA 1570 Morrow, Georgia, has been fined $11,500 for violations regarding, you guessed it, their public file. Well, back on top in L.A., KFI 640 landed in the number one spot in the most recent ratings book in Los Angeles, something an AM station has not done in over 20 years. Well, that's going to wrap it up this month. Thanks to Sean Axelrod, Perry Crable, Dean McIntyre, and Radio World Online for tidbits supplied during this month. Time now to turn the microphone over to John Balker for this month's travel log.
National Radio Club.
Well, thanks once again, Bill Hale, and hello, everybody. Welcome to the travelogue. And I have to tell you, we're doing today's program by remote control. In fact, if everything's gone according to plan, I am sitting today in Akron, Ohio, as you get this tape, at the National Radio Club Convention. And if everything there has gone according to plan, by the time it's over, it will have been a blast. Maybe you can plan to be with us next year. I'd certainly hope so. Now, today, with any luck, we're going to finish up the 960 dial position in our travel from east to west across the country. We're going to start in the city of the Diamondbacks, and we're going to wind up in the Tri-City area of Richland, Pasco, and Kennewick, Washington. And then we have one more as a lucky strike extra. Isn't that what they used to say on the Hit Parade program? So why don't we get started in Phoenix on the September 2006 DX Audio Service Travelogue.
It's a Supremes weekend all weekend long on Kool Gold, KOOL Phoenix.
Well, okay, now in 1997, Linda and I were passing through town and had our dial set at 960.
Give the gift of life. AM 960 KPXQ Phoenix and AM 1360 KCTK Glendale Phoenix.
Addiction is that a person is in a low emotional place.
Now, by 1999, once again, they had changed their call letters. Carl Dabelstein came through for us, as always, as the station was leaning more and more toward Christian talk.
AM 960, KCTK, Phoenix.
The most compelling talk the Valley has ever heard. Reagan, Medved, Prager, and Gallagher. Plus local news every weekday. You're listening to Compelling Talk KCTK at 960 AM. Stay tuned.
And as if those changes weren't enough, about 4 years ago, Carl updated our 960 file in Phoenix in this way.
I'd be honored to receive your vote.
Paid for by Thomas for Attorney General.
News Talk 960, the new KKNT, Phoenix, USA. More news, more traffic, more often.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The battle lines remain clear in the Senate debate over creation of a new Homeland Security Agency.
You know, it's interesting to note that most of their night energy seems to go off to the southwest, down toward the Baja Peninsula. So that may contribute to the reason why I never heard them in Vermont while I was growing up. But maybe you've had better luck than I did back in those days. But one reason it doesn't project too much energy toward the north is because of a station just 30 miles south of Salt Lake City, up in Utah.
10:06, KAYK Provo, KAYK FM, Provo, Salt Lake City. Good morning, I'm Don Bishop at 9:01.
The best music, K-96.
Close your eyes.
Now, Mark Stricker made that recording in 1991, and shortly after that recording was made, things started to get unraveled at the station. They changed call letters and formats, came over to KFMY. We don't have a recording of that station break, I'm sorry to say. But it wasn't too long after that that a station in Salt Lake City decided they wanted to start sprucing up that entire channel of cities from Provo all the way up to Ogden. And if any of you remember KDYL, as I do, the adult standard station in Salt Lake City, they picked up this KFMY at 960 to fill in the southern end of their coverage pattern. And, well, in a technical sense, I'm sure that helped them, but adult standards on the AM dial just hasn't worked out for so many stations, so they switched to all sports. While they were about it, they changed the call letters to KOVO to go along with Provo, Utah, and KOVO now repeats everything that KZNS in Salt Lake City broadcasts. That's the new call sign for KDYL up in Salt Lake City at 1280. Well, that's more information than you needed. Let's go back to 960 in Provo for just a second, 1995.
KOVO Provo. This is AM 1280.
KTYL, Salt Lake City.
CNN Radio News, I'm Ed McCarthy. The O.J. Simpson defense team has been able to have witnesses testify for the first time before the jury in the double murder trial.
And as you could tell, that was before KDYL changed over to KZNS in Salt Lake City. Well, okay, we're going to be hop, skipping, and jumping all over this month, it seems like. We're going to go right back down south towards San Diego in the small community just outside thereof called Apple Valley. And if memory serves me right, in all of 960, this is our first Spanish lesson. Am I right?
La bonita es que existe doble un Apple Valley.
Well, my notes indicate that Mark Durenberger recorded that for us in 1998. Thank you, Mark. And just 10 years before that, Mark Strickert was driving through Southern California with his recorders running.
The oldies station, KAVR AM 96, now concludes its broadcast day. We would like you to join us tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. for more of the greatest oldies of all time, news, and community information. We urge you now to listen to our sister station, FM 102, KAVR FM. Have a good evening. This is KAVR, Apple Valley.
Who, me? Switch to FM? You gotta be kidding. Oh, goodness. Well, now, if we go a couple of hundred miles north up the California coast, north of Los Angeles, north of Santa Barbara, we come to the coastal town of Lompoc. Now, some of you may remember KNEZ in Lompoc at 960 on the dial, but they changed to KCLL, and I regret to tell you that on, let's see, July 15th, 1996, our very own DX News reported that they were going silent, and they never came back.
Oh, so cool. 960 KCLL, Lompoc, Santa Maria, Soul Bay.
And with that as a fond memory, we must travel another 200 miles north on the California coastline up to the city of Oakland, right on San Francisco Bay. Now, this station has quite a history. Infamous history, I can tell you. The fellow who put this station on the air originally really wanted it to ID as San Francisco, but the FCC said no to that. And so all the original IDs, at least the original ones I heard, he gave a dual ID, Oakland, San Francisco. The only problem was that the word Oakland was covered up by the sound of a cable car bell. Well, it didn't take long for the FCC to tell him to cut that out. So here's an ID that I recorded in 1976 while I was working across the bay at KNBR.
This is Cable, KABL Oakland, KABL FM San Francisco. In the air everywhere over the spellbinding San Francisco Bay.
Now, you know, there are some things that are easy to explain and some things that you don't want to explain. For instance, in Florida, we don't talk about hurricanes down here very much. We don't like hurricanes. We get lots of warnings so we don't get hurt, but we don't like to talk about them either. But now, if you lived in San Francisco or along that whole part of the coast of California, what wouldn't you want to talk about? Oh, yeah? Listen to this.
San Francisco and the Bay Area's home for progressive talk. 960, The Quake.
Broadcasting in HD digital, this is KQKE, Oakland, San Francisco, San Jose, 960, The Quake.
Well, what is it they say about, you can say anything you want about me in the newspaper, just spell my name right? Well, they don't even spell Quake right, KQKE. Well, we'll continue to move north now along the California coast and go across actually into the state of Oregon. And Linda and I were up in Oregon 12 years ago right now. And if nothing else, we caught the Klamath Falls, Oregon station speaking to us in English.
Your country giant for Southern Oregon and Northern California. KLAD, Klamath Falls.
I've walked the straight and narrow, and I've won.
Yes, I must tell you they have switched to all Spanish programming, actually Mexican programming. Now, out in the middle of the state of Washington, back when we were last there in 1994, there was a 960 station in a small town of Ephrata. And as you will hear, they were a country music station.
You're listening to Grant County's country station, Great Country 96 KULE Ephrata. High temperatures today up in the upper 90s. Right now we have 68 and sunshine, KULE Ephrata. Time for CNN News. It's 7 o'clock.
From the CNN News Center in Atlanta, I'm Stan Case.
Well, country music in the center of the state of Washington just didn't last all that long. And that station is now off the air. But it's been replaced by a 960 station down in the southeast corner of Washington. I see in the latest NRC log that this station in Richland is now all sports.
The Music AM, 96 KALE, Richland, Pasco, Kennewick.
And after driving some 3,000 miles, that's all we have from Richland. Well, but that's not the end of today's travelogue. No, indeed. We're going to come back at least 3,000 miles along the northern route. And we're in Nova Scotia.
From Halifax at 960 AM, this is Oldies 96 CHNS, a maritime broadcasting system station.
And the sign says, long-haired freaky people need not apply.
Gee, that's nice clean sound, isn't it? But man, are we running late. We'll see you next month. We'll start the 970 frequency. Here's Mark Durenberger.
National Radio Club.
You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.
Thank you, John, and hello, DXers. Mark Durenberger here. I hope your summer's gone well, and I hope that you will be able to make it to Akron, Ohio for this year's NRC convention. Well, as we head into fall, we wanted to spend a few minutes getting caught up on a couple of requests. First, and the subject this month, since we finished our six-part series on the breakup of the Clear Channels, several folks have asked for more details. In particular, a list of all the stations operating on the AM band, then known as the Standard Broadcast Band, back in the earlier days of radio. And we picked 1930 to do a snapshot, since we were fortunate to have in hand Dave Hughes' fine work on his website, Thomas H. White's early work, and information from Barry Mishkin's oldradio.com. I'm going to read 1930's call letters of many of the big stations and the frequencies they occupied at the time, many of them at 5,000 watts, and many planning for the 50,000-watt licenses they'd put on the air through the 1930s. As we go through this list, we'll also review where those stations went as a result of the upcoming 1941 NARBA agreement. We'll also spot many of the big Canadian stations, since Canada benefited so greatly from the changes of 1941. If you hear me mention two or more sets of call letters on the same frequency in the same or nearby cities, you can assume those stations were probably sharing time. We start with 550. 540 would not be opened until 1941 and then as a Canadian clear. Almost all the stations from 550 to 1730 would remain unchanged as a result of the 1941 NARBA, so many of the call letters should still sound familiar today. It is interesting to note how many frequencies were time-shared in 1930 and to note where some famous call letters first began on the dial. Starting at 550, we had WGR in Buffalo and WKRC in Cincinnati. Time shared on 550 were WFUO and KSD, both in St. Louis. Also time shared were KFDY in Brookings and KFYR in Bismarck. They became a single station, KFYR, as you know. And then there was KOAC in Corvallis, Oregon. On 560 in Philadelphia, you had WLIT and WFI, both sharing time. WQAM in Miami, KFDM in Beaumont, Texas, WNOX in Knoxville, Tennessee. Time sharing in Chicago and Beloit, Wisconsin were WIBO, WPCC, and WEBW. KLZ in Denver was on, of course, on 560, as was KTAB in Oakland, California. On 570, and these were on the air in 1930, but most of them still in place, WNYC and WMCA shared in New York. Of course, we know how that ended up. WSYR and WMAC in Syracuse and Casanova, New York became a single station at one point. WKBN and WEAO in Youngstown and Columbus, Ohio shared time. There were other stations on the dial that are recognizable, KGKO, WWNC, WNAX in Yankton, KXA in Seattle, and KMTR in Hollywood. On 580, the big guys that shared time were WOBU and WSAZ, Charleston and Huntington, West Virginia, KGFX in Pierre, South Dakota, that eventually ended up on 1060. There was WIBW in Topeka, sharing time with the station in Manhattan, KSAC. And in the Canadian provinces, in Edmonton, there was CHMA, CJCA, CKUA, and CNRE, as well as CJBC, CJSC, CKCL, and CKNC, all in Toronto. All of those eventually shook out. And 590 had WEEI in Boston, WKZQ in Berrien Springs, Michigan, WCAJ and WOW, Lincoln and Omaha were sharing at the time, and KHQ was on the air in Spokane, Washington. These, remember, are all 1930s calls. On 600, we had WCAC Stores, Connecticut, and in New York, WGBS sharing time. Baltimore had WCAO. Memphis and Lawrenceburg, Tennessee had WREC and WOAN sharing time. WMT in Waterloo, Iowa, KFSD in San Diego, and then the Canadians on 600, CFCH, CJRW, and CJRM. 610, WJAY in Cleveland, New York, we had on 610, WFAN and WIP, both in Philadelphia. WDAF was on in Kansas City and KFRC in San Francisco. 620 had WLBZ in Bangor, Maine. WFLA and WSUN were sharing time in Clearwater, Florida. WTMJ was on the air in Milwaukee. They're still there. KGW in Portland, Oregon, and KTAR in Phoenix have been on the air forever. On 630, WMAL in Washington, sharing time in Jefferson City, Missouri, and Evansville, Indiana, and Columbia, Missouri, were WOS, WGBF, and KFRU. In Canada, you had CFCT, CNRA, and CJGX. There's a mouthful. 640 had three stations at the time, WAIU in Columbus, Ohio, WOI in Ames, Iowa, and KFI in Los Angeles. At the time, 5,000 watts. Also at the time, 5,000 watts at 650, WSM in Nashville. KPCB in Seattle was on the air. WEAF was on the air on 660. That was at 50,000 watts in 1930. They were one of the early adopters of high power. There was a station in Omaha, Nebraska at 500 watts, WAAW. 670 WMAQ Chicago was at 5,000 watts in the 1930s, early 30s. WPTF in Raleigh and WFEQ in St. Joseph, Missouri were still at low power. KPO in San Francisco was at 5,000 watts and on its way to being KNBR. In Canada on 690, CFAC, CFCN, CHCA, CJCJ, and CNRC in Calgary, Alberta all shared time. 690 from Bowmanville, Ontario, CPRY and CKGW. Stations on 690 would remain as is in the upcoming 1941 swap, except that CFRB ended up, as we know, on 860. WLW in Cincinnati was at 50,000 watts in 1930 on 700. They stayed put, of course. KMPC was on 710, and WOR Newark, New Jersey at 710. And on 720, WGN shared time with WLIB, both Chicago and at the time 25,000 watts. 730, all Canadians, CHLS, CKCD, CKFC, CKMO, and CKWX in Vancouver. Sharing time in Montreal were CHYC, CKAC, and CNRM. Now we get to the stations that began swapping channels or moving up and down the dial. WSB in Atlanta was on the air with 5,000 watts on 740, and Clay Center, Nebraska had KMMJ already on the air at 1,000 watts on 740. In 1941, 740 was cleared to make room for another Canadian clear. So those two stations, as we were mentioning, WSB and KMMJ, ended up at 750, where they remain today. Going forward, as we read the next group of channels through 780, you'll note they all moved up 10 kilocycles in 1941. They included WJR Detroit, 5,000 watts. They were on 750 in 1930. WJZ in New York, 30,000 watts on 760. WEW in St. Louis, 760. And KVI in Tacoma, Washington, and 760. On 770, the beginning of an interesting swap. At the time, KFAB, WBBM, and WJBT. That was Lincoln, Nebraska, and the two stations in Chicago, WBBM and WJBT, all shared time, and they all had power between 5,000 and 25,000 watts. Loyal listeners will remember our demonstration of early synchronous experiments between KFAB and WBBM, when engineers tried to make the two stations sound like one across much of Mid-America. Well, KFAB would not stay on 770, as we'll see in a few moments. Moving up the dial on 780, WEAN in Providence, WTAR and WPOR in Norfolk, Virginia, shared time on 780. Also on 780, we had WMC in Memphis. We had KELW and KTM in Burbank and Los Angeles, California, sharing time. Also in Canada on 780, CKX in Brandon, and CKY and CNRW shared time in Winnipeg. The stations from 790 to 830 were generally moved up two notches, as we know, and 800 was opened up as another Canadian clear in the 1941 NARBA. So here's what happened. WGY in Schenectady, already at 50,000 watts, went from 790 to 810. KGO in Oakland was 7,500 watts at the time, and they moved to 810 from 790. And WBAP had been on 800, and they were moved to 820. They were already at 50,000 watts, and they were WBAP and WFAA, and they were one of the longer-running timeshare operations. On 810, WPCH in New York City to become WNYC, and WCCO in Minneapolis at that time at 7,500 watts. They moved to 830. WHAS moved up two clicks. They were 10,000 watts at the time. They went from 820 to 840. The three stations on 830, WHDH in South Boston, WRUF in Gainesville, Florida, and KOA in Denver, then at 12,500 watts. They went up, of course, to 850. The Canadians on 840, CHCT, CKLC, and CNRD were all in Red Deer, Alberta. Also on 840, CFCA, CLB, and CNRT, all in Toronto. These guys all went to 860, according to early records. But there may be a conflict here as these call letters shook out. 850, 860, and 870 stations, as found in 1930, included the following. They also went up two dial spots in 1941. On 850, we had KWKH / WWL, Kennonwood and New Orleans, Louisiana. Of course, we know how that ended up on 870. And 860 had WABC, WBOQ sharing time in New York City. That, of course, became WABC, which became WCBS on 880. In Kansas City on 860, we had the call letters WHB. A number of years later, those call letters would surface on 710 and eventually 810. 860 also had KFQZ in Los Angeles, California, and that moved to 880 temporarily, and 860 KMO in Tacoma, Washington, also up two notches. 870 was a station called WENR, WBCN, and WLS, all Chicago. At the time, the various powers on the three stations ranged from 5,000 to 50,000 watts. And the stations that were on 880 through 970 in 1930 were moved up three notches. So you add 30 kilocycles to the dial spots we're going to read, and you'll find most of these stations are still there today, with a few exceptions. On the old 880, WGBI and WQAN, Scranton, Pennsylvania, shared time. There was WCOC in Meridian, Mississippi, WSUI in Iowa City, Iowa, KLX in Oakland, KPOF and KFKA in Denver sharing time. In Canada, you had CJCS in Sydney, Nova Scotia, and in Hamilton, you had CHCS, CHML, CKOC. Quebec City, had CHRC, CKCI, CKCV, CNRQ. Their power ranges in those days, 22.5 to 100 watts. Sound familiar? Nearly all of them moved up to 910 on the dial. And that's part one of what turns out to be a two-part report. We're listing stations that were on the air in 1930 and how they changed in 1941 with the NARBA agreement. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service, back here in 1 month to complete our long and detailed list. Till then, good listening, DXers.
NRC Convention, WNRC.
On part two of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service, we have John Bowker back with some information about the 2007 National Radio Club Convention. We also have all kinds of news stories. And, of course, Phil Wayne will be by with a look at the Market Scope on the September 2006 edition of the DX Audio Service. If you're on the tape, flip it over for side two. If you're listening on an MP3, here's the music of Glenn Frey.
Wild.